I won't deny it, I'm a straight rider. You don't wanna give up me. Got the police busting at me, but they can't do nothing to us.
And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where today we are going West Coast, baby. We have Rob Mendez, the head JV football coach of Prospect High School out in Cali. Rob, what up, boy?
How are we doing today, Coach? It's a blessing to be on here, and I am so honored to take the time and interview me, man. This is so cool.
The pleasure is all ours. I am a coach just like you. This time of the year, it's not football season. It's not basketball season, although the NBA finals are going on. So it's kind of a time for us to kind of rejuvenate, figure out where we're going to go next year, and get ready for graduation. What's happening out at Prospect High School? What are you working on? I know you're a student aide in the classroom. What are you doing with your team, and where are you at as a coach, Rob?
So yesterday, Monday was our first day of the spring ball.
Okay.
And we had a really good increase of numbers this year. And so we have about over 50 kids out there, which is a tremendous boost from last year because we were struggling with numbers. And between two teams, we had about 35 to 40. And if you break that up, that's about only about 20
right.
players. A team.
Yep.
So it was pretty nice to see all those kids hungry out there, and my quarterbacks are really familiar already with the playbook. So
I love it.
Actually gelling really well, and we're moving a little bit faster than last year, and I'm excited to see the numbers that I'm going to get with the incoming freshmen because I got some emails about inquiring about prospect football. So,
yep.
I mean, we look good in numbers at least. That's for sure.
Now, Rob, are you full pads or right? What do you do like the first day? Are you in tryout mode or where are you with your team?
Spring ball is more of just seeing, how they are doing as a condition-wise. We're running them out there. We're doing a lot of agility drills, endurance drills.
Right.
But for the most part, we're just getting the athletes in shape. And they got footballs out there and we're trying to stay away a little bit from football, but the kids will throw it around on their downtime.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, we're really just focusing on their well-being of their health as well as their conditioning. And we got them in the weight room 4 days a week. So these kids are working hard, and they actually have a goal. I want to say the countdown is somewhere around like 90 days till our first game, but they have it written down on the whiteboard, and I forgot the exact day, but they are counting that down on the whiteboard. So it's pretty cool to see that.
I love it. Now, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong. Is this going to be the start of your second season as the head coach?
Correct, yes. So I got my first head coaching job last year at Prospect High School here.
Yeah.
And, it was tempting to, want to go seek out a varsity job. But
right.
It was just in my heart to come back one more year at least. And you know what? The best part about Prospect is the community and the whole faculty here. And it's just very welcoming, and, it's hard to leave good people. So
yes.
This year I'm definitely, I'm sticking it with Prospect. And then after the football season and me working here full-time, I mean, there's a couple options, but I definitely would like to seek a varsity head coaching job in 2020.
Yep.
And hopefully win this JV championship here at Prospect this year.
Talking about good people, let's go backwards, Rob. Let's talk about the good people at Gilroy High School, the Mustangs. Now, you were the manager there for 4 years as a student. Is that correct?
That is correct. So my freshman, sophomore year, it actually goes back to Pop Warner days.
Oh,
long
I love
story short,
Pop Warner.
My buddies or my friends in middle school would always walk me home.
Right.
And Pop Warner, practice was until 5:30, so they were always – able to walk me home and then go to football practice later. Well, high school, practice starts right after school. So
right.
One day they were just, hey, why don't you just come to practice and just watch from a distance?
Sure.
And I thought, yeah, why not? I mean, I can kill 2 hours watching some good football live right here in front of me.
Right.
It wasn't long before the freshman coaches, Skip Bloom, who was part of the documentary and also the head coach at the time of the freshman team,
mm-hmm.
they waved me in and, asked me if I was, if I'd like to be a part of the jersey. And I was kind of just shell-shocked, but when they asked me, what number would you like? Would you like a jersey? I probably took a good 20 to 30 seconds just to answer it, because just the, you know, just for them to include me on that and get me officially on the team with the jersey as a 14-year-old kid, that's huge. So it was a great memory. And then all four years was great.
Yep.
Junior and senior year is when I really started diving into the X's and O's. My offensive coordinator, when I was a junior year, he allowed me to put the headsets on and just kind of take a look at the game plan. And I would be doing quarterback quizzes with the quarterbacks, and I would be, you know, outscoring these quarterbacks mentally.
Yep.
And I would be talking a little smack, of course, because they were my friends. So it was, you know, it was kind of cool. But at the same time, I always try to motivate them to do the right thing. And
gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, I just kind of grasped the X's and O's really quick, my senior year, especially my second year in high school or on the varsity team.
Rob, I'm very curious. What number did you eventually choose?
I was number 13 because I just, at the time, I felt like, you know, I was always going against the grain. I had bad luck. So 13 being a bad luck number, I just owned
it. I love
it,
man.
Yeah, so that was my football memory in high school.
For our listeners, we have Rob Mendez. He's the head JV coach at Prospect High School. And you might say, well, why do we have a JV coach from a Californian high school? And we've just got to get the obvious out, man. And you have no arms and you have no legs. And
correct, and
everyone that I've met, and we've done research, especially with Coach Lapis, says that the minute you meet this dude, that you forget about it instantaneously. And as I'm talking to you, I find the same thing happen. I'm just talking to another coach. Do most people roll with you that way, Rob?
For the most part. I mean, cruising the streets, like say if I'm taking a bus.
Right.
You know, going to a coffee shop where they have no idea, you know, what I'm capable of, which is completely understandable, you know, if I put myself in their position.
Yes.
I do get, you know, some different looks and some stares throughout the public.
Right.
But especially with this documentary out and you know, me going from bus to bus or even just getting dropped off at a coffee shop or wherever, it's been such great feedback that I'm really starting to embrace this inspiration thing, and
yes,
I really love the feedback. And you know what? It's inspiring me. The energy goes both ways.
That's right.
And for the most part, like I said, I mean, the whole faculty here at Prospect, and going back on schools like San Jose High, Sobrato, Gilroy High, and Christopher, where I coached at previously,
right?
They've been always, you know, there's been friction once in a while, or there's been confrontations, you know, only just for football, which is great, and that's the best part about. Yeah, so there was really no complications along the way in regards to me coaching, except for maybe when I was going to apply, I felt like, you know, they were doubting me and things like that. So.
Right.
But, no, I mean, there's nothing but good feedback going on right now, and I think it's just because I just have this, you know, I don't know. I really enjoy people, and that's what I really try to focus on is just getting to know people itself, and I think that's what really kind of allows them to forget about the disability. So
the second reason we have you on is the SC feature was unbelievable, and it was produced by Kristen Lapis, one of our really
amazing.
How cool is she, and how she's a very young woman but very experienced. Tell me about your relationship with Kristen and ESPN.
So Kristen reached out to me back in 2000, at the end of 2016, beginning of in December, and just over the years, you know, we didn't really stay in touch too much the first year because of the fact that I didn't get the job, a head coaching job, in 2017, and that was the plan. But in 2018, we really grew to get to know each other. And the best part about Kristen was she took a lot of time. And when
right.
you spend time with people, I mean, it's almost inevitable to really get to know them.
Yes.
And me and Kristen, you know, we shared laughs. We also, you know, we went back and forth on how we wanted to portray, you know, the whole camera angles and, you know, my privacy and things like that. But there couldn't have been a better director to make this documentary because she was very sensitive as well as, you know, respectful of my privacy. But at the same time, she was so passionate about what she does, and I can relate on that with her. And she is so passionate about what she does that she makes it great. And when you're passionate about your job, I mean, it's almost impossible for you not to be good, and she is great at what she does. And not only is she a great director, but she's a great friend now. And there's this picture where she sent me of us hugging, and yesterday I received it, and I had to like take a good moment just to appreciate that, because I was in a fog that day, and yes, just experiencing the whole ESPN campus was so awesome. And then there was a moment where I guess we got captured, us hugging, and it kind of took me back,
awesome,
and it really
shot.
Made me embrace that moment and relive it again. So
I
appreciate
it.
Kristen as a director, but more importantly, her friendship.
And now they flew you into the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah, that was an experience. That was
God,
a life.
You're a celebrity, man. Now you tell me that you're trying to downplay this thing, but all I'm hearing is you're just pumping it up. What's up with that?
In regards to the. Like documentary, or what do you mean?
No,
exactly?
No, I'm just giving you, I love it. I think for you to be out there is awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think when you watch, Kenny, when you watch the documentary, and this dude is saying, who says I can't, at the end of it, you look at him, it's Vince Lombardi. You know, it's a college coach. It's inspiration, and it and in that shot they only have you from the neck up, so it's not like you're looking at a dude that doesn't have arms or legs. You're looking at a human being that has, and it's just, and that's what people talk about me when they talk about Greg Herrenda, Rob.
Yeah.
They talk about passion and energy.
Yeah.
And I think me and you, we just have a bond, and I just love that you're getting nominated for an Emmy, you're getting flown all over the world. But at the end of the day, what's most important to you, it sounds like, is your team and the relationship that you have with your students and with your players.
Yeah, I think we can relate on this, Coach, that is probably, for me, in my opinion, is the most important part of coaching, is actually really focusing on their well-being and, you know, just caring for them as a person instead of just as an athlete. And, you know, I've seen, you know, a lot of programs, you know, just focus on X's and O's, and I've seen a few programs,
yes,
just really want to win. Just like with money, when you don't chase the money and when you chase happiness, the money will follow. When you focus on the little things, you know, on your team and like I said, the well-being and just getting to know them as people,
yep,
everything else follows. You know, everything else will take care of itself. And I learned that going through a couple different programs. So I was fortunate enough to see, you know, a lot of different coaching styles. And the one thing that,
yep,
stuck with me was just caring for your athletes as a person. And, Coach, I love your energy, too, because I can hear it in your voice. You're a coach. You got that coach's voice.
Oh, man.
And I would love, if possible, maybe go to one of your games in the near future.
Oh, no.
That would be
all
so cool. That would be an honor.
Your invite is open without question, and it would be an honor for us to have you. You talk about other coaches. Who are the coaches that you emulate, Rob? Like, who do you look at? I know when you were young, you were a 49er fan. But, like,
yeah,
right now and growing up and as an aspiring head coach, who are the people that you look up to yourself?
There's a few different coaches within the NFL, but the one coach that has always stuck with me was, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a Patriots fan, but...
Oh, God, here we go.
Coach Belichick gets the best out of his athletes. I mean, you
yeah,
can have
yep,
you can have yourself go out as a receiver tomorrow, and he'll develop you into a good 50, 60, 70... You know, reception
right,
receiver.
And it's amazing.
Anyways, yeah, he can definitely get the best out of, you know, these sixth rounders, these fifth rounders. I mean,
right,
Tom Brady is the perfect example.
That's right.
I mean, he had that hunger within him. But, I mean, if you think about it, Tom Brady hasn't been thrown to too much for Edelman and Gronk. But, I mean, he makes a lot of the other receivers shine. And that's,
it's amazing
to see that. So I love how Belichick gets the best out of his athletes. But my true coach that I would love to really just not really simulate or emulate,
yep,
but admire and take bits and pieces of his philosophy is Coach Bill Walsh. And,
yeah,
you know, he didn't yell a lot. He didn't use his voice.
Yeah.
You know, I read a part in his book that he just, wow, there's a school alarm going off right now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's okay.
There's a fire alarm going off. Sorry, anyways.
That's all right, man. You do what you got to do. I want you to be safe out there.
No, I'm good. They'll come and get me if they need to, but hold on just a second here, Coach.
All right, no problem, man.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, is this a false alarm, or is this... This is awesome, actually. I mean, maybe not awesome. Not real.
Kenny, this is a first on the Greg Herrenda Show. We have a fire alarm.
Oh, my goodness.
If you...
yeah, they're going to... So the secretary just checked up on me right now. And
can you talk on the way out, can you continue talking while you're walking?
Yeah, right. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Coach. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, perfect. Here's my next question to you, Rob.
Yeah.
Your goals, ultimately, like, you're a JV coach. I was a junior college coach, and then I went Division III, Division II, Division I. Do you have short-term goals or long-term goals? What are you looking at for the future of the Coach Mendez legacy?
False alarm. We're good. Okay, so
false alarm. Prospect High School. False alarm.
Yes,
I'm glad.
You're good. We're good over here at Prospect, everyone.
Good.
If I'm going to talk about my near goals, I would have to say I definitely would like a varsity head coaching job in the near future within the next, year or two.
Right.
And then, I mean, truthfully, I want to see how far this takes me. I mean, I can't really pinpoint how far I'm going to go, but I can see myself really enjoying being a part of the D1 college level, or even in the NFL as an assistant, or who knows what comes of this. But I know that as long as, you know, I stay true to my morals and my philosophies and just the way I've figured things out.
Sure.
I feel like I can climb the rankings, and, you know, I'm confident in my abilities to reach the college level, I feel.
What?
And if I meet the right person, or if I talk to the right person in the NFL fraternity or in the NFL level.
Well, that's my thing, Rob, is like, now I'm a college basketball coach, and in reality, you know, when I'm coaching, I'm animated. I walk the sidelines, and you kind of roam the sidelines, I'm passionate. And, you know, I have arms, but I don't – there's no limit to what you do, because you don't need to –
it's totally a mindset.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's – I'm just a big fan, man. I'm rooting. Just so you know, I had our entire basketball staff shut the door, shut the lights, and put on your feature, and we were just speechless.
Thank you,
everyone was just like had their mouths open, and we talked about our team. When our kids come back for summer school, they're going to watch it. I want to have you on a speakerphone and talk to my staff, because I just think every coach from any sport, you know, I've had Bill Cowher on my show. I've had Coach Wonstadt on my show. I've had Heisman Trophy winners, baseball players. I just think we're all in this big fraternity, and I think, you know, what you do. And the other thing that I have to say is, Rob, when I watch an NBA game, now I didn't play in the NBA, but tell me if you do this. When I watch an NBA game, I literally get into the – I almost put my soul into Kyrie's not a good one to say right now, but Kevin Durant, and as they're doing things, I literally feel like I'm in Kevin Durant's sneakers. Do you have that same imagination when you're watching football?
I do. It just comes out naturally, Coach.
Right.
I think you can relate on that feeling that it just – when we watch the sport that we love and we see a correction to be made – I have to bite my tongue, especially around my dad, because he says it's almost annoying to watch a football game with me now, because I'm critiquing a lot.
It's
when,
too much.
You know, I need to just watch the football game.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But I can totally relate on that, Coach. We get so passionate about the sport we love.
Yes.
And things like that. And going back on basketball, I'm more of like a fan of it, and you can probably dive into X's and O's like no other, I'm sure. Yeah, so you can relate on that level or on that feeling with basketball compared to football with me.
Right. I just love how you do your X's and O's, and you have a great art to have. It looks like a pen is in your mouth, and you're diagramming, but you're talking at the same time, and it doesn't really slur your vision. I should say not your vision. Your speaking is just perfect. You know what I'm saying? So you're drawing with your mouth and speaking, and you're very audible. Like, it's, you know, you're a special guy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It comes from many years of experience within, you know, growing up from kindergarten. I always had a pencil in my mouth.
Right.
And, you know, when the teacher called on me,
You had to speak.
My pen was kind of like my hand. You know, you're supposed to raise your hand in,
right,
in class. Well, I would raise my pen, and then I just would forget to take my pen out and set it down, so I would just speak naturally, and I was able to adapt to that because
that's
I
awesome.
Felt like the pause of me putting the pen down interrupts the flow of conversation.
Yes.
And maybe people have different perceptions on that because the pen could be distracting as I'm talking.
Right.
I've been able to adapt the pen in my mouth and write and go back and forth. And it's kind of like when you have a pen in your hand and you just keep it between your fingers and you're talking and then you're writing down notes at the same time.
Right.
I mean, it's totally different, obviously, physically, but at the same time, mentally, you're able to overcome them. And it's crazy what the mind can do. So,
hey, Rob, a practical situation, and part of the feature was about you falling out of your wheelchair and you had a really serious injury to your orbital, you know, it was really hard to watch. And but I, on a practical note, I'm just watching you going up down. How do you stay in that chair at all? How do you not fall out of it more? Are you secured in that thing, or how does that work?
Yeah, I got a chest belt that goes around me.
Okay.
And when I fell, it looked like it was around me, but it wasn't completely clicked in. So when I leaned forward to use my phone, I went through the seatbelt and just landed on my face onto mat.
Yes.
And
you missed like only 2 days, and you were back.
Yeah, I was back 2 days later after the fall. That first day, I was more – in the morning it was tough, and then as the day went on, like come practice, you know, between 3 and 6,
right,
I was more angry at the fact that I'm at home.
Yeah, oh,
I
yeah.
I think that kind of distracted me from the pain, and obviously the medication probably helped as well. But the second day, I woke up with this determination and drive there for the kids.
No, nothing was going to stop you.
But their coach is in a wheelchair that fell out of their wheelchair. So
amen.
I try to really just be there for them and not – have this as a disruption with what we're doing as a team. I mean, obviously reality will set in and I got to accept some things, but if I can overcome it, I mean, I'm going to go all out as much as I can. And I appreciate what, you know, the kids, the feeling the kids give me. So it's very uplifting for me to be around them as well.
Amen. And Mike McAvoy, who's your caretaker, if you will.
Yep.
I mean, this guy is invaluable to you on a daily basis, is he not?
Yeah, he is. I mean, it started with my parents, you know, bringing me up, and my dad and my mom really raised me completely until I was about 18 or 19. Long story short, I moved in with a girlfriend into San Francisco, you know, and I had to learn the hard way that, you know, dual relationships don't work. So, you know, she was my caregiver and also my girlfriend, so
it's tough.
I learned hard with that, and then
Mike
came into my life in my mid-20s, and it was a blessing to meet Mike because I mean, he totally is on standby, you know, he's on call throughout the day and things like that. So I mean, he does go fishing a lot, and my parents will relieve him, you know, once in a while, but for the most part, I mean, that guy is with me about 28 days out of the month. And
wow,
and it's amazing. And I'm definitely in the process of looking for someone, you know, for part-time, because it could be overbearing for him, which is, you know, it's reality, and it is what it is.
Yep.
But he's trying the best he can, and I'm trying the best I can. And, you know, good caretakers don't come every day. And
that's right.
So it's just hard to find the right person. It's not hard to find people, but it's hard to find the right person. And for now, my dad and Mike are working out, and then my mom as well. So I got
it's a team effort, Rob.
It is.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you an FDU jersey, and you're going to send me a Prospect High School jersey, and we're going to be on the same team, and we're going to stay connected. And I guarantee we're going to have you.
Better yet, Coach, I can send you that jersey, but can I send you a Who Says I Can't T-shirt?
Oh, I would be honored.
I would love for you to wear a Who Says I Can't.
Let me hear a Who Says I Can't. Give it to me, Rob. Who says I can't?
Who says I can't?
Who says I can't?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Peace.
I got to get you suited up, Coach. And the
I was a tight end. A Pop Warner, bro. I run the 44 flat up for you one day. Hey, Rob, we got to go.
Okay.
We're going to take you out with Tom Petty. You're the best. Coach Pete Lapis says what up, and we're just pulling for you, and we're pulling for the Prospect High School JV team, man.
Yeah, maybe we can do a follow-up after the season and, hopefully
you're
get
on.
A championship or get a good season. And but anyways, thank you for having me, and thank you for your time. It's an honor, Coach. Thank you.
You're the best.
Yeah.
Pete,
have a good one.
You have a great one.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more of the Greg Herendez Show after this.
This is Coach Rob Mendez from Prospect High School. You are listening to the Greg Herendez Show on WFDU. Who says I can't? Yeah!